Episode number 6, Unity as a Couple.
You're listening to the Drive to Thrive podcast with your host, David Gurian, helping you to build a relationship that thrives.
Hello and welcome to the Drive to Thrive podcast. My name is David Gurian. I'm your host. I'm your Gallup certified strengths coach that's joining you on the podcast here to help you build a relationship with your significant other that truly does thrive. Now, today's episode is called Unity as a Couple. And I say unity as a couple because so often when I look at other couples and I have conversations or coach people, one of the first things I see or notice that even the couples don't necessarily notice themselves is that they do not really have unity as a couple. Now, what do I mean by unity as a couple? Well, let me give you an example. How often do you kind of look at your relationship and say, okay, you do your thing, I'm going to do my thing? Now, I'm not saying that that's a bad thing always, but when you kind of think about that think about what are those things that you do that are just you, and think about those things that your significant other does that are just them, right? So an example is I play golf. I like to play golf. I'm really not that good at it, but I enjoy it. I like getting out there on the course. I like playing 18 holes of golf. I like it. Well, my wife was wanting to give it a shot once and join me on this. So we went out, we bought her golf clubs, which was probably mistake number one for me. And if you listen to episode 5 from my previous episode, you'll know that I have high activator as a strength and I have a tendency to leap before looking. This would be one of those times. So I bought her golf clubs, golf shoes. We got her all decked out and ready. We went to the driving range with her new golf clubs. She swung at the golf ball. She took 4 swings, each one. I don't know if she hit the ball any of those times. And she put the golf club back in the golf bag, sat down and said, I'm done. And then on the drive back from the driving range, she said, I'm not going to play golf. I'm done with it. Well, golf became just my thing at that point. That pretty much sealed the deal that she wasn't going to be joining me in golf and playing golf with me. So my dreams of, you know, being one of those couples that go on golf vacations pretty much fizzled out and died at that moment. So golf is something that I do. It's something for me that I do that my wife doesn't do with me. That's not what we're talking about here. Okay, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about those hobbies that you have that you'll do every, you know, that you do maybe a couple of times here and there, maybe once a month or maybe once every couple of weeks or whatever, something that you do. That's kind of personal time. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about here is those couples that have their life pretty much compartmentalized, where, you know, one spouse has their life and the other spouse has their own life, and they really only come together over mealtime at dinner, and on their way out in the morning, they may, you know, they may kind of interact a little bit at night, later on at night, but that life is kind of that. And even on the weekends, that life is kind of still compartmentalized. You know, this person's doing their chores, their things, their responsibilities. The other person's kind of doing their thing. I mean, that's kind of one of those, that's kind of what I'm talking about, right? We probably all know a couple that's like that, where they're very content with just having their own lives and not a life together in that regard. What we find is that while that is probably an extreme case, we all face that type of scenario throughout our relationship or at different seasons in our relationship that feel like that extreme, you know, kind of feel like that compartmentalized look. I love the 1950s kind of view of this when you see a couple, if you look back to like the old sitcoms back in the day, what did the husband and wife do? They go to the bedroom and what did you see? These two twin beds separated by a nightstand in the middle, right? It's not this idea of a king bed or a queen bed where they share the same bed. It's kind of two separate beds. And that was the old, that was kind of the old view, right? That old style sitcom look of things. And that's kind of what we're talking about here. We're talking about that part where relationship with your significant other is primarily just kind of cordial. It's sort of level two communication, which is, here's kind of what I've done today, but there's no deeper level of understanding that goes on there. And when we talk about how do you develop unity as a couple, what we're saying is that there's an opposite to that that can really exist between a couple where they feel like they are one as a couple, where they feel like there is unity there, not just in sharing maybe the last name or having, you know, they're both sharing assets and you know, capital and tangible goods and income and all that stuff, like, but there's actually a unity there as a couple. And it looks like this, right? It looks like this. It looks like two individuals that come together with a shared dream and vision and approach to life. And what that shared dream and vision approach to life looks like is specific and unique to them as a couple. That's what it is. And that the relationship sort of exists around that and is unified through that and comes together like that in a way that really allows for a deeper level of understanding, a deeper level of appreciation for one another, and a deeper level of intimacy that comes out of that. So that's what we're really talking about when we say unity. Now, I have a fantastic video series that I do. It's a free video series that I actually talk about unity as a couple in it, and I go into real detail in it. And I wouldn't say introductory, but a great next step of kind of going a little bit deeper into this conversation of what does it mean to have unity as a couple. I'm going to tell you what that web address is at the end of this podcast episode. So stick around. I'm going to send you to that at the end of this, and you're going to have the ability to go and sign up for that free video series. It's fantastic. I share all kinds of great information in it. And I talk about even the things that disrupt unity, those silent killers to relationships there. So we're going to go through all that in the video series. But I will tell you that where you can go to sign up for that free video series at the end of this podcast episode. But let's kind of continue to talk more about what the power of unity as a couple really means. So when I say unity as a couple, and I've kind of described those things, I'm going to kind of paint a picture for you, okay? I'm going to paint a picture for you when my wife and I did not have unity as a couple. There was a season in life when I had left a corporate job and I was staying at home I was writing. I had had a book contract and had been spending a lot of time writing, but was feeling very kind of unfulfilled with the greater purpose for my life. So I had stayed at home just kind of doing that typical writer at home, typing all day, but kind of wondering what's more, there's got to be something more here. And as I explored what that looked like, it ended up leading me back to school. So I had already gone through and completed a master's degree in business administration, but I was going back to school for a theological degree to help me kind of take my learning to another level and my writing to another level. Well, I told my wife about this. I said, hey, I'm going to apply for schools, and this is what I'm going for. This is what I think it is. Don't you think this is great? My wife kind of said, yeah, sure, and kind of just gave me kind of the thumbs up, and I thought we were on the same page. So I went ahead, I applied, I got into school, we interviewed, and I probably should have known that the first sign that maybe things weren't quite what I thought they were when my wife had to also write a entrance essay to get into the school with me. Like we both had to write. So the school took a high priority on making sure married couples were not going into additional schooling without having been on the same page there. And my wife really was hesitant and had a lot of apprehension towards doing this essay, writing this essay. And I just couldn't figure it out. I'm like, look, all we got to do is write the essay. We're pretty much in. Let's write it, and then we'll start school in January. This is going to be great. So she had a lot of apprehension, but she eventually wrote it. We turned it in. I started going to school, and it was about 3 months into school, 3 or 4 months into school. And I was doing great. I loved it. But things with my wife seemed to kind of be not, I would describe them as there was some clear tension, but it was unspoken tension. There was something there that was kind of dividing us, and I couldn't figure out what it was. I just assumed she just, you know, was in a weird stage of her life or something or whatever. What I didn't know was that she didn't really agree with my decision to go back to school. Now, when we actually talked about it finally and we had a conversation about it, she shared all this with me, and I reminded her of all the times that I had asked her, "Do you support me in doing this?" And she said, "Yes, I support you." But guess what? My definition of the word support was not the same as her definition of the word support. So when I was saying support, I meant, are you on the same page that this is something I should be doing, that you want me to do? You not only are happy for me doing it, but you're going to help me do it. And not necessarily help me by doing my homework, but help me by helping me make the time to study, helping me carve out a space in the house where I could do it uninterrupted, or to help us adjust our schedule in such a way to give me, to kind of give me some encouragement whenever I was kind of feeling stressed out by it. And to know that she was truly kind of walking alongside me with it in that regard. What my wife meant by saying support was that she was going to stand out of my way and let me do what I was going to do. There was a big difference in our definitions there. When she and I finally landed on that, I said, that's not support. That's just stepping out of my way. That's not stopping me from doing this thing. So I got really frustrated with her because I realized we were not on the same page. And not only were we not on the same page, but there was disunity amongst our relationship. We weren't the unified couple that I had hoped and wanted us to be. Instead, we were quite the opposite. And it took a number of conversations for us to really get to the heart of it, of how all that went down. So I say this story because how often do we face a situation similar to that in our relationships? How many of us take a promotion, start a new job, get a certification, do additional schooling, volunteer with an organization, take on a new, you know, coach like our kids' soccer team or our kids' sports team or something like that. I mean, take up an art class or additional learning or whatever. I mean, like, how many times do we all do something like that? And we kind of approach it the same way my wife and I did, where one of us kind of says, I want to do this. The other person says, okay, because they've either decided the fight's not worth it, or that once one of us is, you know, once we've made up our mind, we've made up our mind, and that they just simply stand out of the way and don't stop us from doing the thing, but not support us in the truest sense. That seems to me to be more common in relationships than we have a tendency to admit or recognize when in our own relationships as couples. That to me, I see that happen more often than not. So it's not to the extreme of the example we said at the beginning of this episode, where we talked about, you know, couples that basically have totally separate lives, but more or less just cohabitate together. We're talking about these kinds of experiences like my wife and I had. And in those moments is when you begin to see the tension that shows up. And that tension either results, depending on the type of couple you are and how you tend to conflict as a couple, that tension can either result in escalated emotions and feelings or detachment from one another. Those seem to be the two things that I've noticed. And when we talk about unity as a couple, unity as a couple is learning to make decisions like that in such a way that you can feel like 100% on the same page with one another. That doesn't mean you have to agree on everything or even do everything the same way, but that there's true support there and there's true unity there. Now, that's kind of like the tip of the iceberg explanation of that. It gets much deeper than that because unity as a couple looks like this. Unity as a couple looks more like it did when my wife and I made the decision for her to stay at home with our two children. When my wife and I, you know, as opposed to the example that we gave about me going back to school, my wife came to me and a number of years ago came to me. She's this highly educated woman. She's got a doctoral degree. She, you know, is a licensed physical therapist. I mean, she does all that. She worked in a fantastic job. She couldn't wait to get back to work after we had our first child. But when we had our second child, she felt a change kind of taking place inside her. And she came to me and said, I really feel like I want to stay home with the children. And I was a bit shocked. It wasn't a part of our original plan that we had made. It wasn't even something I ever thought she would want to do, given how she had reacted to having our first child and wanting to go back to work so quickly then. And it just wasn't kind of normal with her personality to want to stay home. And I thought, okay, that's kind of a shocker. But she didn't tell me that she had to stay home. She didn't make it like an ultimatum that I had to do. She came to me and said, I want to have this. I want to stay home. I really feel like that's the right thing for me to do. But there was never any expectation that we had to make a change. She was just communicating the level of emotion that she felt towards this subject, which was something I didn't do when it came to talking about going back to school. I didn't share with her how passionate I felt about writing and communication and what I really wanted to do. I just told her, hey, I want to go to school. And I tried to logically lay it all out and then go forward with it. In this case, she brought how she was feeling to the relationship in the relationship about this decision and started with that, which is so hard for so many of us to do. I mean, you might be sitting there saying, oh, well, she's a woman. She can bring her emotions like that and share them. Well, if you know my wife, that's not the case. My wife and I are both people that struggle with really sharing and communicating emotions. And for her to do that was not an easy thing or natural for us. But when she came to the table and actually said, this is what I'm feeling, and it was said in a way that wasn't like an ultimatum. It wasn't a demand. It wasn't a kind of a shaming or coercing type thing she was doing there. It was just simply explaining how she felt. And we started talking there. That gave us a much more unified approach when it came to making this decision. And when we did finally make the decision, we were both on the same page with it. We both agreed it was the best thing for us to do. And I was able to actually support and encourage her instead of just standing out of her way when it came to staying home with the children, which was a big deal because she faced some really tough and rough times when she first started staying home with the kids. There were some really difficult days and some really hard seasons. And if I was just standing out of the way, she would have been doing that on her own, which is the difference between really supporting somebody and actually and versus like standing out of their way and just letting them do it. By me being on the same page with her, by us not just on the same page intellectually, this is what we're doing, but on the same page, this is why we're doing it. And we both agree this is what we should be doing or want to do. This is what's important. Being on that page together gave me the opportunity to step in and speak into her life in moments of, you know, in moments when she was hitting rock bottom, in moments when she was having doubt about whether she made the right decision or not, moments when she felt really lonely, because let's just be honest, if you're staying home with a couple of toddlers all day long, it gets kind of lonely, even though you're surrounded by a lot of craziness with kids. In those moments when she felt like all of her education, all of her training, her skill set, all that stuff may have been, you know, wasted, it gave me the opportunity to speak into that and for us to move through those experiences she was having together as a couple in unity. That's the power of unity as a couple. That's what you want to strive for as a couple, because when you can tap into that, then rather than going to bed at night feeling like, you know, again, this kind of cohabitation experience where you go to your separate beds, you say good night, turn off the light, and that's the end of the day. When you go to bed as a couple in unity, you feel closer to one another. You feel, you may not, let's just be honest, it doesn't mean everything's going to be easy and that things are going to be always happy and peachy keen and wonderful, but you go to bed feeling like a team. You go to bed feeling like, okay, we're in this together, and that whatever ends up coming our way, whether we make it or not, we're in this together, and we know why we're in this together. We know why we're doing this. So that's the power of unity as a couple. And that's what you really want to be striving for, because the compartmentalized approach to relationship is really, I mean, it's really not what relationship was all about. And if you're honest with yourself, if you're experiencing that compartmentalization and you go back into and remember why you first committed to a went to a deeper level of commitment as a couple in the first place, you probably didn't envision this kind of cohabitating, compartmentalized lifestyle. You probably envisioned something more like this unity as a couple. Well, you've got to tap back into that and remind yourself that's the whole reason why you moved forward with this relationship to this level in the first place. You saw the potential for something great to be there for you as a couple. And that potential is achieved through unity. And the power of unity as a couple is well worth it to tap into that. Now, if you're ready to explore on a deeper level, how do you step more into unity as a couple? I have this amazing free video series. It's a relationship training series. It's all about relationship development. It's put together in an online format, and you can sign up for it. All it takes is an email and a name. You can sign up for it by going to davidgurian.com/guide-to-thrive. Now it's guide and then the number 2, not spelling it out, but like the number 2 and then thrive. So guide to thrive. You can also find a link directly to it on davidgurian.com. If you go there, sign up, you'll get instant access to start watching the videos. And there are 3 amazing training videos with the opportunity to really take your relationship to a whole nother level of unity and really truly thrive as a couple. Now, I can't wait for you to join me on the next episode as we tackle another awesome topic as couples and relationships, the kind of things we face, and how to really take our relationship to another level, to a relationship that truly thrives. I can't wait to see you then, and we'll talk to you there.